Psalm 46, starting at verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though its mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Now he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So far, God's word. Keep his word open in front of you, brothers and sisters. But let's first of all bring his word before him in prayer. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we have your word to guide us, that we have your word to calm our hearts, to still our souls, that we can rest and trust in who you are and your promises to us. Help us to hear your voice this morning. Speak to us through your word. Open our hearts to your word. Remove any of the distractions of the day, of this week, from our hearts as we focus on you. Work in our hearts through your Spirit, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's impossible not to watch the news at the moment, isn't it? It's impossible not to check what's happening on the internet and checking your email to see what's going on. Just even as we start there, a word of caution to parents. I know I found myself being dragged in and sucked in, and it does heighten the tension, the stress that you have. So just be careful how we protect our kids through this as well. But that's not the main application point of the sermon. We'll hold that off to a little bit later. But just a note there. But it is impossible not to take it all in. What's going to happen? There's plenty to worry about. We've seen the run on food. Housing is going to drop, they reckon, at least 11%, at least 10%. Unemployment is probably going to go up above 11%, worse than the global financial crisis. Businesses are going bust. You can read it in the paper already. Business after business shutting down. Society shutting down. And to top it all off, in the middle of all of this, during this week, our government goes ahead and legalizes abortion. What do we do? Where do we look? Maybe we should panic. Well, no. No, we shouldn't panic, brothers and sisters. We need to take care during these times. We need to look after ourselves. We need to look after each other. But we need not panic. And Psalm 46 reminds us of that very thing this morning. In Psalm 46, we are reminded that we need not fear, that God is in control, a message we all need to hear this morning. A message that our community desperately needs to hear, and our leaders also certainly need to hear as well. This morning we're going to see that in times of trouble, we can have confidence in our fortress. In times of trouble, we can have confidence in our fortress. Now, boys and girls, it talks about a fortress In Psalm 46, it says that the God of Jacob is our fortress. Can anyone tell me, what is a fortress? What's a fortress? Quiet. Almost want someone to email into us from out on the internet, but we haven't quite got that technology yet. What's a fortress? Can someone who's a little bit older and a little bit braver tell me this morning? What's a fortress?
It's a building which protects people, which you might be able to defend from.
That's right. It's like a castle. Well, the walls of Jerusalem. Well, think about a big wall and a moat around Waimana here. It's not quite a moat that we have out here, but a fortress to protect us from harm. And God, the psalmist says, is our fortress. First thing we're going to see this morning, as we look at verses 1 through 3, is that our confidence is tested. Our confidence is tested. We're not sure of exactly when and where the psalm is written. It's written by the sons of Korah, the best guess, and it is a guess, that it was written around the time of King Hezekiah, when the Assyrian army came and laid siege to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a fortress, but the Assyrian army in all its might was out there around. You can read about that story in 2 Kings 18 and 19. 2 Kings 18 and 19, if you're making notes. And we know that God came and attacked himself, the Assyrian army, and they were decimated and they all ran off. And this psalm seems to be a psalm that is written celebrating that victory. And if it's not that event, it's certainly celebrating, it's certainly rejoicing God's saving work. You see, the people of Israel had the world shaken. And we in Canterbury can appreciate some of these pictures, can't we? The earth giving way. The mountains moved into, maybe not the heart of the sea, but into the sea. Just go for a drive up Kakura and you can still see the effects. But it's not just this physical picture of mountains into the sea and sea going above the mountains that we have here. It's also a picture of the nations, of our nation. How has the world been turned upside down in this past couple of weeks and this past week for us? How have the tall mountains been thrown into the heart of the sea? Rather than globalization, the nations are retreating within themselves. Borders are being shut up. Communities are withdrawing into themselves. Instead of financial security, we face financial insecurity. But it's not just the world, is it, brothers and sisters, friends? It's us as well. Our worlds have been turned upside down. For those of us with significant health struggles, for those of us who are older, the risk of the coronavirus is real. A number of us immediately are facing insecurity about our work, about our businesses. What will 2020 ultimately look like for us? In times like these, our confidence is tested. We do have questions. We are unsure and insecure. Are we in times of trouble at the moment, brothers and sisters? We are, aren't we? Is it something that we should have some concerns about? Yes. Do we need help? Do we need help? I see a few nods. Some of you are still with me. And I hope if you're watching via the internet, you're nodding your head at the moment. We do need help. But where do we go to for that help? The psalmist tells us, takes us by the hand, leads us and guides us. It's there at the beginning of verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. a very present help in trouble. The idea there, a very present help, is the idea that God's not just a help for us just once, but God is always, continuously a help for us in times of trouble. When our faith is tested, when our confidence is tested, we need to go to God who is our refuge, to God who is our fortress. But it is important for us to acknowledge that we are in trying times, that our struggles are real. If we present a false picture to each other, especially if we place a false picture to the communities in which we live in, then we simply make ourselves irrelevant. We need to be real. We need to acknowledge our struggles. And it's not helpful to say things like, well, Christians won't get it. I've read that, heard that, you may have seen that on the internet. If you really believe in God, if you're a true believer, and as one paper slyly put, if you're a tithing believer, then God will protect you from the virus. Now that's nonsense. But it's also nonsense to say, well, we don't need to worry about it. We don't need to listen to the government. It's also nonsense to go and make that run on the supermarket, so that those who are vulnerable, those who struggle to get out, those who struggle to get supplies, are left out. Our confidence is tested. But that's not the end of Psalm 46. That's not the end of the story. It brings us to our second point this morning, the centre of our confidence, as we look at verses 4 through 7. In verses 1 through 3, especially 2 and 3, we have this picture of uproar. Think about the mountains of Kaikoura being thrown into the sea rising up above those mountains. It's tension, it's stress, it's turmoil. But then get the picture of verse 4, a picture of calm. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. That could also be translated, there is a stream whose channels make glad the city of God. Can anyone tell me what a Jewish person in the days of the Psalms would know what the city of God was? I'm sure many of you here know too. What is the city of God? Someone's mouthed it. I will put that silently mouthed word into the air. Jerusalem. Jerusalem it is. And in the time of Hezekiah, there was a stream. There was a channel, an underground stream that led to something that is known as the Pool of Siloam. So as anyone, any army that came and threatened and laid siege to the city of Jerusalem, no matter what happened, they would still always have cool, calm, clear, fresh water. And that's the picture that we have here. When the nations are raging, there is still that stream of living water. Pure living water. And that brings us this morning to John chapter 4. Turn with me there if you have your Bibles open. John chapter 4, where Jesus describes himself as water. John 4, page 888, if you have one of the small church Bibles. In John 4, verse 7, we read this. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, we have nothing to draw water with, and that well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will never be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty. I have to come here to draw water. Brothers and sisters, in times of trouble like this, we need to go to Jesus Christ, to him who is the living water that we need, so that we can have peace, eternal peace, but yet also peace now as we go through these times. Do you know that peace this morning? Do you have that peace? Have you placed your hope, your trust in the living water of Jesus Christ? That's one part of our confidence that we have as believers. But the psalmist goes on. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. A picture of God in the midst of Jerusalem. Today, a picture of God in his church. God is there in the middle. God is with us. We will not be moved. If we are in him, we are secure for eternity. No matter what we face. And brothers and sisters, that should give us perspective today, this week. As we face the coronavirus, as we face the decisions that our government makes with regard to our vulnerable children, as we face the changes in our planet, God is in the midst of us. We cannot be moved. And this God promises us help. The second half of verse 5, God will help her when morning dawns. How many of the boys and girls got up this morning before the sun rose? A couple there? You must have had to get up pretty early. It's not so helpful for your parents either, but you must have had to get up pretty early, didn't you? Well, the picture we have here is that God is already awake before the sun comes up. And in fact, we know from Psalm 121, verses 3 and 4, that God never ever sleeps. He's always awake. He's always there looking over us and looking after us. And so before the sun rises, he's already helping us and is with us as his people. No matter what happens out there, no matter how much the nations rage, no matter how much of a spin the world is in, no matter how much the kingdoms of the world totter, all God has to do is simply speak. And the earth melts before him. That's the God who we have our hope in. That's the God who is the center of our confidence. We need to be reminded of that confidence. That the Lord of hosts is with us, verse 7. That the God of Jacob is our fortress. The God of Jacob is a wall that protects us. In times of trouble, we have God's promise that he is with us. That's what one of Jesus' names means, Emmanuel. God with us. We have Jesus' promise that through the Holy Spirit, he will always be with us. He is the center of our confidence. That's a message that we need to hear this morning, brothers and sisters, that I need to hear. But it's not just us. It's also a message that the world that we live in needs to hear. And that brings us to our third and final point this morning, the display of our confidence, as we look at verses 8 through 11. The psalmist is first of all talking to his fellow Israelites. Come, he says, come and have a look. Come and see what God does. Come and see what God has done. The victory is obtained for us. Come and see the desolation that he has wrought on his armies, on his enemies. Come and see how he protects us, how he is a refuge for us. Is he a God that takes away trouble? Well, yes, sometimes, but not always. But he walks with you, you people of Israel. He walks with us. He carries us through times of trouble. And it is God who gains the victory for us. That's the picture there in verse 9. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Now, normally at the end of a war, there's some sort of negotiation. The two warring parties will get together, they'll have a treaty, and normally the party that is defeated has some opportunity to save face. They get given some territory under the agreement. But not so here. Notice the picture we have. He stops wars, yes, but he breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. This is a full, complete, total victory that God has. God is all-conquering. God has obtained victory against sin and death through his Son. God will obtain victory against all of his enemies. Total victory. And that is true right here and now as well. In verse 10, we have these words, "Be still and know that I am God." Now, first of all, these words are words that God is speaking to the nations. I didn't quite pick that up first as I read through the psalm, but it's actually God speaking to his defeated enemies. He's speaking to the world. And what does he say? "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. Stop worrying. Stop panicking. Be still. Bring me honor. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. First and foremost, this is a message to the nations. Be still. Know who God is. Don't worry. Stop panicking. Come and find out who I am. Be still and know who I am. Be still and know that I am the Lord of hosts. Literally Yahweh, Jehovah, the covenant God who desires to be in a relationship with people. Yahweh, who is the king of all of the armies. First of all, the army of Israel. But the army of all of the hosts of heaven. All of the angels. The God who has the forces of heaven on his side is with us. The God of Jacob. Why the God of Jacob? Jacob is one of the patriarchs. He's one of the fathers of the people of Israel. Why didn't the author here say the God of Abraham? Or the God of Isaac? The God of Jacob himself was the least impressive of all the patriarchs. Jacob was a liar. Jacob was a deceiver, but more than that, Jacob was a warrior. And doesn't that describe us? The God who is the God of Jacob, who worried, he is the God, our God as well. The God who is the God of the least is our God. The God of Jacob is our God. The God who Jacob turned to in refuge is our fortress and refuge. Turn to him for refuge. But how is God exalted by the nations? How will God be exalted among the earth? Well, brothers and sisters, that's where we come in. We are called to let people know about who this God is. The God who is our refuge and strength, who is in control, who is bigger than any pandemic, who is in control of all things for all time, who sent his Son to bring us hope. And that is the hope that our communities need at this time. The hope of Jesus Christ. That is the comfort that they need. Do we need that comfort? Yes. We need to be reminded of who we are in Jesus Christ, of the eternal hope and security that we have, who God is for us. But in many ways, our world needs to hear it more. We know that hope. We need to be reminded of that hope. But our world is flailing, walking blindly in the dark. I firmly believe that in these weeks and months is a time of opportunity for us as God's people. We have the opportunity to talk with people, to be real, yes, about the struggles that we face. That's a witness in itself. To be honest that our own confidence is tested, but also to bring people, point people, walk people along, gently show them the center of our confidence. A God who is in control, a God who will not be moved, a God who sent his Son to die for us, so that no matter what happens, we are secure. That there is a Savior who brings pure living water, no matter how much and how much turmoil there is out there. That no matter what the virus does to us physically, no matter what the virus does to us economically, we still have hope, and that hope will see us beyond the grave. We need to go out and say to people, be still. Come and find out. Come and know. Let me tell you who God is. We need to be thinking about that, brothers and sisters. We need to keep thinking about that. And we need to ask ourselves the question, in this time of opportunity for us as God's people, what does that look like for us? We're going to need to think outside the box as we become more isolated. How can we look after our neighbours? How can we be a witness in the communities in which we live in? How can we bring people hope? I've got some thoughts and some suggestions, but I'm not going to say those here from the pulpit this morning. I want us as God's people to be having that conversation. How can we help? How can we point people to the confidence that we have? More than that, point people to our fortress, our rock, our refuge, our Saviour. Let's have those conversations. Let's encourage and remind each other as well. We pray this, we say this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are our rock, you are our refuge, you are our fortress. We acknowledge, Heavenly Father, that for many of us, most of us, if not all of us, our confidence has been tested in various ways over this past week and weeks. It is going to continue to be tested in these weeks to come. Help us to come back to you, to remind ourselves, to remind each other of the confidence, the hope, the refuge, the safety we have in you, our God, the eternal security we have in Jesus Christ. May that give us strength as we face these weeks to come. But help us also to display, to tell people about the reason for our confidence. Give us opportunities, we pray, to have those conversations. We thank you already for the conversations that many of us are having about what is going on. Lord, we do acknowledge the struggle, the pain, the evil and the brokenness that we see in this world. Help us to trust and rest in you and show others and walk alongside others. To teach them about the grace that you have given us, the hope that we have, the security that we have in Jesus Christ that is available to them if they will but believe in you. Work in their hearts, use us to do so, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing a version of this psalm, number 399. This was a hymn written by Martin Luther based on Psalm 46. This was Luther's favourite hymn. So we stand with the church throughout all ages as we stand and sing together the four verses of number 399. A mighty fortress is our God.